Tell you Solomon chapter 2 and verses 16 and 17. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feeds his flock among the lilies until the day breaks and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be like a gazelle or a young stag upon the mountains of Bethel. And these verses are the words of the bride speaking in her own heart to herself of her great love for her beloved, her satisfaction that Christ is her Savior and Lord and that she belongs to Him. And what is revealed for us here are the deepest desires of her heart. And this is what these verses are speaking to us about. Now I want to approach this subject this afternoon by showing you first what the beloved, our Lord Jesus Christ, is doing until the day breaks. And secondly, I want to show you what it means when it says until the day breaks. And then finally, I want to show you what the longing desire is, which is felt by every believer in relation to that day, and also their fellowship with Him presently. Now, first of all, I want to show you what Christ the beloved is doing until the day breaks. It says, my beloved is mine, and I am his. He feeds his flock among the lilies. Now the New American Standard says, he pastures his flock among the lilies. But the words his flock, as they're brought to us in the New King James, the New American Standard, are not in the original Hebrew. So it technically should read, as the King James says, he feeds among the lilies. The ESV, the English Standard Version, says he grazes among the lilies. And I have told you in previous sermons that believers in Christ are Christ's lilies. Christ is the rose of Sharon. Christ is the lily of the valley. But we are his lilies. He is the chief lily, but we are being transformed during the time of our earthly stay, to become more and more like Him, to have more of the spiritual beauty of Christ's character and holiness to be seen in our lives. Lilies are emblems of sweetness and purity. When you look at a lily, that's what you think of. And we are flowers of God's planting as believers. We are meant to grow up to eternal life by feeding upon God's Word. And we, because of His grace, have been united together in the likeness, planted together in the likeness of Christ's death and also in the likeness of His resurrection, so that we most certainly shall be changed on that last great day to come to find ourselves in the likeness of His resurrection. That's Romans 6, verse 5. We are one of His lilies. We are one of His holy ones in His body, the universal church. And if we are wise, we will join ourselves to one particular expression of that universal church, uniting ourselves to a local church and assembly so that we can be fed the good word of God and the words of our Christ. Christ, it says here, feeds His flock among the lilies. Christ feeds His flock in His churches. He stands among the candlesticks and in the midst of His people feeding upon their devotion to Him. By the way, beloved, that's the significance of our being here in worship this afternoon. It's not just to hear another sermon, but the significance of it is that the Lord Jesus Christ is present here even though we cannot see Him. And He is feeding among the lilies. In other words, He is feeding upon your devotion in relation to the preached word this afternoon. You don't worship the Bible. You worship the God of the Bible. You see, but the thing is, Christ, our Savior, feeds among the lilies. He's looking at your heart to see what the activity of your heart is in these times of worship that we are having here week by week. Now, the metaphors here are very interesting. They're sort of mixed. In verse 16, we find the Lord Jesus being pictured for us as the great shepherd king, the husband of His bride, feeding His flock. And these metaphors of who the bridegroom is are all being mixed together for a reason. As the great shepherd, he leads and guides his flock. He feeds us. And as our king, he rules over us and he protects us. And as our husband, he tenderly loves and cares for us and provides for all of our needs. The Lord Jesus, in each of these capacities, is the great feeder of our soul. He is the great feeder, but as he feeds, I'm saying, he himself is being fed. That's the picture here. He grazes among his lilies. He alone can satisfy the hungering and thirsting of your soul for righteousness and truth. But he himself will only be satisfied in his feeding of you with the full devotion of your heart being given to him in worship. We need to see him in this way. We need to see him in our hearts and our mind's eye in this marvelous work of feeding us as those whom he loves and the one who desires our greatest spiritual affections, whether it is in your personal Bible study, your reflection upon his word during the day, or whether it is in your attending church on Sunday to hear the word of God preached to you. You need to see where your spiritual food is coming from. And you need to offer your worship to Christ as you feed and as you are given this food. The spiritual food is the doctrine and the knowledge given to you through your eating and drinking in the knowledge of the Scriptures or partaking of the Word as it's preached. But Christ, in giving this to you, I'm saying, would himself feed upon the devotion of your heart to him in and through it. Now, what is the Lord looking for? Well, he's looking for thankfulness. He's looking for thankfulness in your heart. He's looking for joy in your heart. You're going to have thoughts considering how you can put these truths that I preach to you and the doctrines that are explained to you into practice in your life so as you can become a more righteous and holy person in his sight, a more loving person in the sight of others, loving them with the love of Christ. Now, one of the greatest acts of love was and is that during the whole of the Old and New Testament time, that Jesus is pictured as feeding his flock. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Now see, this is how the Lord does this. He does this in the good pastures in the preaching of his word. And I'm saying it's one of the greatest acts of love that the Lord Jesus does in both Old Testament and New Testament times. And I don't know how much you are aware of this fact, or how much you ponder it, that whatever measure of spiritual food is provided for you providentially in the church that you attend is from the Lord. It's He Himself feeding you. The church is the Lord's flock, and He Himself, I'm saying, is still feeding it today. But He feeds it through the lips of His pastor teachers in the primary sense. He gives to them all manner of spiritual food and drink to present Sunday by Sunday to you so that you will be able to partake of the blessed word, that you will come and sit and listen to it, and that then He feeds, I'm saying, upon the worship services of this day. That's the significance. That is the ultimate significance of what we are doing here this afternoon. Under the Old Covenant, it says in Malachi chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, "The lips of a priest should keep knowledge, and people should seek the law from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts." He is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. You see it? And if you think of the Lord Jesus Christ, this was fulfilled to the utmost extent in our Lord Jesus Christ, in his person as our great high priest, that men should come and seek as it says that they should keep knowledge and they should seek the law from His mouth, that word from God. Because, why? Because He is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But how does He do that today? He does it through pastors and teachers who then become messengers of the Lord of hosts. They are not infallible as the old prophets were, but nevertheless they are still given the gift and the ability and the power to be able to preach the Word of God. Well, Jesus has gone away to heaven for this time, and it's very important to Him that you come and be seated as one of His lilies, and that you hear His blessed Word. He feeds among us as we do this. He looks deep into your heart to see whether you'll receive it. And He's holding fellowship and communion with you in your heart when you exercise faith in Him. Now ask yourself in all honesty this afternoon, if you see Christ in that way, that blessed way, do you see Him grazing here among the lilies? Do you see Him feeding in your heart to see whether your faith in Him is active, whether your love toward Him is there, whether you're receiving the truth of His Word to be able then to implement that truth in your life? If that is so, and you are doing that, our Lord will give you the sweet assurance of His Spirit that He is yours, as it says there in verse 16, and that you are His. Now secondly, I want to show you what it means when it says, until the day breaks, until the day breaks, and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be like a gazelle or a young stag upon the mountains of Bether. Now the word until implies that there's a sense in which the day is not broken. And now we know according to the scriptures in the book of 1 John, why don't you turn over there with me, 1 John chapter 2, and verse 8, there's just a wonderful set of verses over here in 1 John chapter 2. Beginning in verse 8, it says, again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Now we know from these verses that the day of light and life has come personally for the person who's trusting in our Lord Jesus Christ. They are filled, it says here, with a love for the brethren, and the graces of the Holy Spirit which have been given to them from their Lord have made them children of light. And as it says in Proverbs chapter 4 verse 18, the path of the just is as the shining sun that shines brighter and brighter, ever brighter, until the perfect day. And the day that's being spoken of is indeed the day when Christ will return. And this present age of mixed darkness and light spiritually shall come to an end. And the saints shall behold the light of eternal glory, shining down upon them in all of its resplendence in the face of Jesus Christ. And when we shall see our Lord face to face and know ourselves to have been completely changed and transformed to be like Christ, then we shall be radiant. And we shall be altogether satisfied. And we shall be eternally joyful and happy. I'm saying to you that this day is coming. This day is coming for each of you who trust in Christ in this life and has a sincere faith. Now that's the eschatological meaning of these words, which are meant to encourage the church in all generations until Christ comes back. But there is an individual and a personal meaning to the phrase which applies to every believer. The words can most definitely be applied to the day of the believer's death. The reason is this, that the words give us this indication that the time of our life here upon the earth is a time of darkness in comparison with the light of heaven, the light of seeing Christ face to face. And even though we lose the body, and even though we will die before, most likely we will die before Christ returns bodily and physically, even though we lose the body for a time, we shall still be dwelling when we die in the realms of endless day. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but that's what death will mean for the believer. We shall be forever with the Lord when He comes back for us. But I'm saying that when we die, we go immediately into the presence of the Lord. And the presence of the Lord is spoken of as unapproachable light in 1 Timothy chapter 6. But what I want you to turn with me now to is 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. What I'm trying to say to you is that you and I, when we die, we will never die spiritually. We will never die spiritually. Our spirit will abide in the light of heaven itself until the time of Christ's second coming, when we shall receive the resurrection body and dwell in the literal, physical, new heavens and new earth. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to Him from the excellent glory, 'This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And we heard this voice, which came from heaven, when we were with Him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you would do well," watch this now, "which you would do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart." I don't know if you've ever thought about those verses before, but they are absolutely astounding. Apostle Peter is telling us that he and James and John were not making up cunningly devised tales. They weren't making up stories about the transfiguration when Jesus asked them to come up on the mount with Him. They actually saw His appearance changed, radically altered in terms of blinding light. His garments became whiter than any launderer could ever launder them. And He's saying, this was not a dream that I was having. That what He's saying here is that they wrote down the Scriptures related to this, and Peter says that we would do well to heed the Scriptures as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in our hearts. What does that phrase mean? Well, notice, first of all, that the morning star that is mentioned, arising, it's mentioned arising in our hearts. It's not mentioned in any other sense. It's mentioned arising in our hearts. Why in our hearts is the question that you should ask then when you determine that. Because the eternal day, I'm saying, actually dawns for us in our hearts and in our souls when we as believers die. That's right. That's what happens. And our body is lost to the dust and ashes till the day of Christ's second coming. And the day of the resurrection of all the dead, we're not going to see things with physical eyes quite yet. Not till the day of the resurrection. But the morning star, that star that comes out just before the dawn breaks, the light that is the precursor to that final glorious day, is already realized, I'm saying, amidst the darkness of dying and death for the believer. Oh, dear believer, will you not take heart that when it comes your time to die, that you will be brought through the river Jordan of death and into realms of endless day immediately. You will be there in the amazing and marvelous light. You see, what's being said here is that it's always the darkest just before the dawn. You know that, don't you? The night is very dark just before the dawn. And then the morning star comes out. The morning star arises. But he's saying here that this morning star will come up in your heart. That's what he's saying there. He's saying there, you do well to take heed to the scriptures, that confirmed word, the prophetic word confirmed, and to take heed to it as a light that shines in a dark place, that is in this life, and even in your heart, to dispel that darkness, until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your heart. And what I'm trying to say to you is that the glory of the eternal kingdom is revealed in stages. Believing the word that the apostles saw Jesus transfigured, we believe that. Having been transferred from the domain of darkness into His marvelous light, into the kingdom of God's dear Son, brought out of darkness and set on the path that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. So death, I'm saying, is just another step into the further glories of spiritual and eternal light. Do you see that? And there is separation from the body in death, but being with Christ in heaven in His light will be more than enough for you. It's going to be more than enough. All the darkness will be gone. Your soul and spirit will be irradiated with this glorious light. And then, as the Bible teaches us, one day, the day will come, that glorious day will come, the day of Christ coming, His second coming shall bring it all together. The new heavens and the new earth shall be bathed in glorious light and eternal day. There will be no need of light, not the light of the sun, any longer for the glory of Christ that will be seen by His people in that day. But let us remember that all the shadows of darkness for the believer will cease when they depart their body in death. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation nor shifting of shadow. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. By way of application, are you living in such a way that you are looking forward to the day of your death? The person who lives striving to have a good and clear conscience in relation to the keeping of God's word shall indeed be given an abundant entrance into Christ's heavenly kingdom. And then thirdly and finally, I want to show you what the longing desire is which is felt by every sincere believer in relation to that day and also to the fellowship with Him presently that you have. It says, turn, my beloved, and be like a gazelle or a young stag on the mountains of Bether. The mountains of Bether are the mountains of division. That's what the word Bether means. It means division in the original Hebrew. And the bride is saying to Christ, her husband, until you come back for your church, until the day breaks when I can see you face to face, turn, my beloved Christ, the bride says, and come to my longing heart, come to my longing soul, and give me a sense of your love and presence with me as I walk through this life and try to live to your glory. Everything seems to separate me from you. You ever feel like that? All these difficulties, the mountains of difficulty that stand in between you and Christ. between seeing Him face to face, what you have to go through, trials and tribulations and afflictions until you enter the kingdom of God, seem like mountains and obstacles in the way of your having deep and meaning fellowship with the Lord, you pray and you say, Lord, overcome this. Overcome these obstacles. Do not leave me feeling alone. Be like a gazelle or a young stag upon these mountains that divide. Come to my heart, Lord Jesus, so that I might live to you a righteous and a holy and a contented life. And I'm saying the life of a sincere Christian is a life of devotion. Devotion unto Christ. They cannot ultimately be satisfied with the things of this world like a hypocrite would. The hypocrite can love Jesus a little and love the world a lot. But the true believer in Jesus Christ cannot do that. They must have the affections of their Savior toward them. They must know those affections. And so must the Lord Jesus know those, your affections to Him. A true believer must have spiritual communion with Christ to satisfy them at all times. I want you to think with me in closing of Psalm 63. Psalm 63, David in the wilderness being chased by Saul. What was David's greatest concern in Psalm 63? In fact, let's turn over there and you can see it for yourself. Psalm 63. You'd think that David would have the psalm filled up with asking the Lord to deliver him from Saul. I think actually there's only one verse about it in here. But he says in Psalm 63, he says, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. In a dry and thirsty land where there is no water, so I have looked for you in the sanctuary. Notice that? I have looked for you in the sanctuary. That's where you are now, beloved. You are in the sanctuary. I have looked for you in the sanctuary. I have longed for you. My flesh longs for you. My soul thirsts for you. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness, watch this, is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Is that you, dear believer? Is God's loving kindness better to you than life? Do you have those kind of longings in your heart that your flesh longs for Him, your soul thirsts for Him? That you say, turn, my beloved, and be to me like a young stag, like a young deer upon the mountains of division, bounding toward me, coming toward me with power and grace and presence and fellowship and glory. Look how he continues here. He says, thus will I bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. And once again, let me just ask you, do you have these kind of desires? You know, a good portion of the Christian life is fed upon by Christ, that is, your desires. A good part of your religion as a Christian is Christ seeing your desires. If you have those kind of desires, you can say, you know, your loving kindness, Lord, is better than life. And you won't be so afraid to die, because the Lord Jesus will be right there in glorious life. And neither will you be so afraid to live either. For in living, you'll be able to declare the works of the Lord. And you'll be able to sing His praises each and every day, until Christ comes for you, until the day breaks and the shadows flee away. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this portion of Scripture. We thank you for the power and the glory of it. We pray, O Lord, that the truth of it would fill our hearts. O Lord, may we magnify your name in our worship. May you be magnified in our life and glorified in our hearts and in our lives and the things that we do, the things that we long for. May we not be children of the world and the flesh. May we not be led astray by the devil. But may we see the glory of Jesus Christ and the light that irradiates our soul now and shall fill our soul to the utmost degree in the coming day. For we pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.